is Akmal Akhmatov. You're listening to Invested English Podcast. Welcome to session number 22. Today I'm here in the studio with Shahrukh Khosimov and our very special guest, Behzod Hakimov, who is the founder of the project motivationletter.kz, and he's also the representative of German program. It's a cross-culture internship and the co-founder of the Toastmasters International Public Speaking Club in Kazakhstan. Welcome to our show, Behzod.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Shahrukh, how are you? Welcome to the show after many days of absence.
Thank you, Akmal Akhan. Thank you, Behzod Akhan, for being here and sharing this experience with us. It's my pleasure also to be here again. I've been absent for a couple of sessions, but this time back again in the studio.
Yeah, and today we're going to talk about motivation letter. And so Behzod is going to give us some kind of a short master course today. The first question, can you tell us about your project, Behzod?
Thank you very much one more time, Shahrukh and Akmal. So before starting about my project, I would like to tell you how did I come to this point and why did I decide to start helping Central Asian people how to write strong motivation letters. I have to mention that I've been teaching in the last 10 years general English courses, business English courses, exam preparation courses such as SAT, GRE, TOEIC, TOEFL, IELTS. And during this time, many of my students used to come to me and ask to help them to fill up the application form because they were planning to study abroad. And as you know, you have to fill up application and submit it in order to be considered. And in this process, a very important role plays motivation letter. Many people, especially in Central Asian countries, according to my observation, don't consider it as an important factor, but in European countries, in Western countries, universities pay great attention to your motivation letter because by the help of this letter, they will get to know you better, which is very important for them. And they used to come to me, my students. I tried to help them all the time. It was like a hobby at the time, like 5 years ago. But then I started working on it. I started reading different kind of books about critical thinking, creative writing, and read a lot of sample successful essays of international students. Then I started doing it on professional level and tracking it. So it turned out that it's very useful and there is a high demand in the market. And actually, a lot of students, especially teenagers who are applying to bachelor's degree, they lack the experience or skills or knowledge even how to compose strong essay. That's why I decided to continue working on that direction and help as many as possible students, not only from Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan, but all over the world. For example, last year I had a client from Saudi Arabia in China. So I helped them, why not? Because we use English as a means of communication. That's why there is no any kind of borders in my case. So then I started working on it, as I told you, and like 3 or 2 months ago, I launched my website. It's called motivationletter.kz. So in this website, I provide, promotional materials, a lot of useful tips and hints and feedback from my students who have entered or those who are studying in the meantime in foreign universities.
And what is the motivation letter itself? It's the essay, right? And how is it different from traditional essays that many students write at school, at lyceums and even at universities? What is so special about it? And can you tell us more about the motivation letter?
Okay. Thank you for the question because it's really important. Many people mistakenly consider that it's like a sort of ordinary essay, but it's a big mistake. Motivation letter firstly doesn't have a structure, in general doesn't have structure, while traditional essay usually have introduction, body and conclusion, and it's usually more conventionally structured. But in terms of motivation letter, you don't have any limits, you have to be as creative as possible in order to make the impression on other side. And it's very difficult, actually. For example, by the help of letter, by the help of words, to impress somebody who have, for example, who has been reading such kind of essays every year, thousands of essays. And that's why for many students it's a big challenge. They don't know how to write it, what to write it, what to mention it, and how to structure it. That's why it's up to you. You have to be as creative as possible. You don't need to follow some sort of samples. It's always good to read these samples in order to have an idea. But you shouldn't copy any part of this sample, because it will decrease the chances of getting accepted to foreign university.
And okay, so can you just tell us shortly, like, what are the do's and don'ts? Like you said, it shouldn't be written like traditional essays. Maybe you will give us some kind of a brief guidelines how the motivation letter should be written and how they shouldn't be written.
Okay. Well, firstly, we have to clarify, if you're applying to bachelor's degree, there is another strategy and approach. If you're applying to master's degree, it's a different situation. Let's talk firstly about bachelor's degree. In bachelor's degree, usually you are asked different kind of questions, but they are mainly about yourself. Because on that level, when you finish school, you don't have a lot of professional experience. That's why admission committee wants to know you better as a person and your ambitions or inspiration and so on. That's why usual questions like, tell me about yourself, tell us about the most challenging situation in your life and how did you manage to overcome it. These sort of questions usually are asked, and you have to answer to this question, not just, oh, I had this situation and so on. No, it doesn't work like this. So you have to be creative. Firstly, the first paragraph, in my opinion, is very important and critical, because it has to be hook. Because we should understand that committee reads a lot of essays every year, and usually they don't read till the end. I can tell you secretly, because I have some network in, you know, American universities, and if the first paragraph is really good and it worked as a hook, they would continue reading. And that's why you have to be creative. For example, I can give you an example. Last year, like in November, I helped a student, schoolboy, his name is Chingiz from Astana, and he was applying to American universities, and I helped him to compose his motivation letter. The question was, can you tell us about the most challenging situation in your life and how did it influence your background? So the question basically was about it, about himself. And I worked with him during 1 month via Skype, because I was in Almaty, he was in Astana, but it didn't impede the process. Yes. So we started working. And the hook was, in my opinion, very interesting. So we started in this way. So let me try to remember. So it was like, I like to think of myself like a lonely boat in the storm, in the ocean, whose navigator is his little sister. So this was the beginning. And after reading this sentence, people usually question, why boat? Why his little sister, but not elder sister usually, or brother or father, is navigator in his life. So you have a lot of questions. That's why this is a really good hook, and you want to read it in order to find out, because it's very creative. Use water, use a lot of things in one sentence, and it creates interest towards you. And at the end, it should be connected as well, because he had a very challenging situation, because his little sister was born, without any, health problems. But after a couple of months, it turned out that she has epilepsy. It's a very serious illness. And so he had to look after her all the time. And it changed his vision towards many things. That's why. And at the end, we did like this. Like, I have come to realize that there is no point of waiting the storm to pass. You need to learn how to dance on the waves of the storm. So this was the logical finish or end of this essay, and it was connected with the beginning, and there was logic in this essay. And he got into 7 universities, University of Washington, University of Richmond, University of Washington and Lee, and many other universities, 7 total. And three of them provided 80% of discount. The fee was $58,000 per year. So if you just discount 80%, so you can calculate yourself how profitable was our cooperation with him. So this is one of the examples. That's why motivation letters very important, not only to get accepted to the university, but in terms of finance as well, because you can save money.
Well, I mean, most of the students don't know how to write essays. I mean, for example, I remember when I was a student at schools and even in the lyceum and university level, they never taught us how to write proper essays. So, I mean, so through your project, how exactly do you help? I mean, what is the scope of your help?
Okay, well, firstly, I forgot to mention that motivation letter, in my mind, is an opportunity to sell yourself. So we usually, in our life, we sell ourselves in two cases. One, when you apply to study abroad. In the second case, when you apply to a job. In a job case, you have to sell yourself by speaking, by presenting yourself. In terms of applying to universities, you have to write it down. Yes? So many people don't like writing. And I'm not exception in this regard as well. When I was student, when I was schoolboy, I didn't like writing in any languages. But then I started liking it very much because it makes you more creative. You have to learn a lot of things, develop all the time, which inspires me a lot. That's why I like it very much. So motivation letter, for, as I said, it's like selling yourself, and many people don't know how to do it. That's why you need to read some samples. That's a good idea, firstly. Then you have to find your style. I call it to find your unique voice. If you can find your unique voice, your essay will be unique. In my case, what I do? Firstly, we meet, we have interview, and after that, we'll clarify what kind of university you're applying. We'll learn, analyze requirement of the university, requirement to the essay, if there's word limit, if there's other questions and so on. After that, we brainstorm and we work together in this way. For example, I give to my client, for example, student, homework. For example, your homework today is to go to this website. For example, if you're applying to Cambridge University, let's say the Faculty of Business, so you have to learn this faculty website during 2 days or 3 days and come back next time and tell me what you have learned so far. What kind of professors are working, what kind of projects are they in progress, and so on. Many of such kind of things. After that, we'll try to find out something which is unique and which only this university is providing. And we'll pinpoint while writing in our essay, if it is relevant, of course, that we will refer to this fact that, look, you have such kind of program and you have the professor who has got Nobel Prize. So that's why I want to study in this particular university rather than another one. So you have to be very specific when you apply to some sort of university. It's very important. In order to be specific and logical and relevant and reasonable, you have to do a lot of homework in advance, research work. So we do it together. Basically, I teach my students how to do this research and what to pick up, because there are a lot of information and facts, and you have to pick up the right one and connect it somehow with your background, with your future plans. That's very important, and in this regard, many people don't have enough skills or knowledge how to do it. But mainly my job is to do this part of this job. Plus, after finishing writing, to polish it, to revise it, to make it more strong in terms of stylistics, and in terms of vocabulary usage, and in terms of mentality as well, because in my opinion, it's very important to show your mentality to provide it, because foreign speaker, foreign admission committee, let's say, may not know about Uzbekistan, for example. Maybe he might see it on the map, world map, that's it. But if you provide some sort of interesting thing about your mentality, culture, it's all the time interesting and it's always winning stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, in our culture, we don't like to talk about ourselves, right? We don't like to sell ourselves, right? So it's very important to think like, you know, I don't know, I mean, like the people in the West, right? So, I mean, you have to sell yourself. You have to sell your skills, your knowledge, your vision, right? And other than this, what is the level of English should the person have? I mean, if it's IELTS, for example, yeah? Or is it, I mean, is it important that the person should have IELTS at least 7 or 7.5, or he can start writing motivation letters with even IELTS 5 or 5.5? I mean, what is the, do they look at the language also? I mean, the level of vocabulary, or the language part is not so important, but the content is more important? What do you think?
Well, it's a good question, but I think both of them. But we shouldn't rely heavily on IELTS result. It's not about IELTS result. Of course, IELTS shows the level of your English fluency. That's correct. But for example, yesterday in Almaty, I had a meeting with one potential client. She works in Air Astana, a company, and she's planning to apply to Fulbright Scholarship Program. And she brought her essay yesterday, and we did analysis, and she tried to use a lot of advanced vocabulary, and I didn't like it at all. You know, motivation letter, I mean, strong motivation letter is not about using complicated vocabulary. It's not about it. It has to be simple, concise, to the point. So in order to write such kind of essay, you don't need advanced vocabulary. With intermediate level of vocabulary, you can write very strong essay. So in this regard, I can tell you that it's the vocabulary or the level is important. Of course, if you want to write essay, there shouldn't be any kind of grammar mistakes because you are sending it abroad, and you want to study abroad. If you have simple basic grammar mistakes, it shows that you are not ready enough because you know you have to study after all. So that's why level should be at least upper intermediate. But generally speaking, it's not so critical, because you don't need to use advanced vocabulary. I don't recommend, and I always tell to my students, you shouldn't use it, and they're always surprised. How? I thought that I should use quite difficult words from GRE, SAT, like ambivalent, vociferous, those words which we don't use usually in our daily life.
Yeah.
You know? Keep it simple, but it has to be unique. It has to be catching. That's the point. And you can achieve this goal without using advanced vocabulary. It's not about it. That's why, so all you have to do is practice. And I always ask, for example, once you've finished one work, I mean, your letter, ask your friends who are competent enough to look through and give feedback. It's always useful, at least 3 people. Even if you work with me, after finishing, I highly recommend you to ask your friends, use your network, and try to get feedback. It's always useful because they know you from another perspective, and it's always good. Maybe then we can revise it, because I'm always ready to revise it, because I want you to get accepted to the university, not to finish this work and get paid. You know, my objective is to get accepted. That's why I always motivate them to ask other people, or if they don't have such kind of people, I use my network and ask them, hey, can you read this one and give me feedback? Usually these people are native speakers.
And you know, how soon should the person start writing process? I mean, for example, the deadline is 1st of September, and today is the 25th of April. So how soon should the person start writing the motivation letter and the whole, you know, application process?
Akmal, thank you for this question. It's really very important. Why? I will explain. For example, since I started working on this direction, many clients come to me. Usually they come with their parents, because a teenager who is applying to bachelor's degree, usually who pays? Parents pay. That's why when he comes with his mother, she says all the time, look, I knew that we need to get IELTS or TOEFL, but I didn't know that we need to write essay as well. So you see, many people don't take it seriously, or many people don't know how important is it and how early you should write your motivation letter. Coming back to your question, I think from my experience, if you're applying to scholarship, because it's highly competitive, you have to start writing at least 3 months prior to the deadline. If it is university, just you applying direct to university, 1 month is enough. But I know that many people who are applying to top 20, for example, to top 30 universities abroad, they start at least 1 year before the deadline, because good essay has to be polished, revised, edited, and receive a lot of feedback. After that, you can consider it as a ready one, you know. In my case, I spend from 2 to 4 weeks with one client in order to write an essay. It's a good period of time for me and for my student to write strong essay. That's why once you start attending to IELTS preparation course, usually it lasts, if I'm not mistaken, 2 or 3 months, at that time you should start writing your essay as well. So this is logical, because many people say that IELTS is important. I agree, IELTS is very important. You cannot get accepted to university without IELTS. But if you want to study in good university, you can't get it intake without essay as well. That's why it has the same value and importance in the regard of IELTS or TOEFL. That's why you have to treat this challenge on the same level, even higher in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I remember, for example, when I was back 3 years ago, when I applied for the Fulbright student program, it was my first chance of applying for the international scholarship. And when I started writing a motivation letter, I was working with my brother, who is the assistant professor at one of the American universities, and we were working with him every day, you know. And I was writing, and after we have when we wrote the whole essay, I was reading and polishing it every day, you know. so it was like 3 months, and almost every day I was working on my essay, and I was accepted. I mean, I was interviewed. I was invited for the interview. So you mentioned other students from other countries, for example, yeah? Like students from Saudi Arabia and Central Asian students. How can you compare the students? Like, for example, when you're working with students from other countries and the students from Central Asia and, let's say, specifically Uzbekistan, what skills these students lack, our students, and what skills they should improve?
Okay, firstly, I have to tell you that I don't have a lot of students abroad, but I have a couple of from Saudi Arabia and China, and from Kazakhstan many students, and a couple of from Uzbekistan. But what if we compare Chinese students, they have very strong critical thinking skills, which cannot be said about Central Asian students. In my opinion, in order to write good essay or in order to be successful, you have to have two very important skills: to have very strong critical thinking skills and to have strong creative writing skills. In my opinion, good essay is based on these two factor skills, and it's very important. Unfortunately, so I can talk about Central Asia at least. Unfortunately, in our schools, on any level, primary, secondary, high school, university level, we might have some short courses about critical thinking, maybe in some places. But in general, we don't have such kind of classes or programs, and that's why we develop these skills passively, because of challenging situation in our life. Maybe we come across this some sort of books and read, but it is done passively. That's why we lack these skills, and that's why we cannot write in many cases we cannot write very successful and strong essay. In order, if you want to be successful, if you want to be a good writer, you have to develop these two skills by reading books. Firstly, you have to start from theory, so read books, you can download, you don't need to buy even, read and figure out what is critical thinking and what's creative writing. And what is the basis or foundation, fundamentals of these two direction? When you figure out, when you understand, then you can start practicing it on purpose, intentionally. Try it in different cases and see how it works. If you can do it, you can write very strong essay. This is my personal opinion based on my personal background and personal observation and experience working with Central Asian students. And I highly recommend to our listeners and to our potential students, as for those who are trying or planning to apply abroad to study, try to find out what is it, critical thinking, and what is creative writing. After that, try to incorporate these two skills into your writing and see how it works. It will definitely work, I can tell you from my experience. I think, and my aim, so my training actually when I work with somebody is based on these two directions. So I try to develop firstly critical thinking skills, because critical thinking skill, what is it? It's like questioning, asking the right question firstly. If I simply say, it's like the ability to ask right questions. That's very important. Okay, this is the first thing. The second thing is when you receive some sort of information from different sources, you have to, you shouldn't accept it immediately. You have to question it. Again, questioning. To what extent it is true, logical, or relevant. So you can, we have the internet, you have double check it all the time, do it all the time, all the time. Creative writing is like how you describe different sort of situations in your life, because in USA you have to describe and provide a lot of information about yourself as well. So how effectively or in a unique way, for example, you provide or create, I mean, the case or situation in your life will influence I mean, ultimate decision of the admission committee.
So I mean, for example, you know, for example, when the person gets the information, don't just accept it as a true information, right? But try to look at the information from the different angles, right? For example, if it's something on TV, let's say, yeah, don't watch TV and then just buy the story, right? Believe from the A to Z. But also read a book or a magazine or talk to people about it, right? And compare, contrast, analyze, evaluate, right? Reflect and try to connect with your own stories, with your own self. So through this way you, I mean, we can tell people to develop critical thinking skills, right? So what else should students do in order to develop their critical thinking skills?
Okay, it's a good question. Actually, critical thinking is everywhere, every day, but we don't notice or we don't realize that it is critical thinking. For example, I will give you a couple of examples. You should tell me if critical thinking is involved in this situation or not. Okay, this is for both of you guys. You should join as well. So the situations, you are reading a novel for a pleasure in your free time, in your leisure time. What do you think? Do we use critical thinking in this case or not? If yes, tell me how.
I think yes, because when you are reading a novel, you should really understand the situation, dig deep into it, right? And you should connect the dots, because when somebody is writing something, and when usually it's literature, right? We usually try to hide the scene from the reader, and the reader should incorporate his creative and analytical, critical thinking skills, just in order to understand what the piece of writing is talking about. So I think in this regard, we should really switch our imagination and critical thinking to understand what's happening in the writing.
Okay, one more question for Akmal. For example, Michael Jordan, everybody knows he's very popular. He was and he's still, I think, very popular basketball player. Imagine he's playing his next football basketball match, and while playing, does he use critical thinking or not?
I believe so. I mean, he must use his critical thinking. I mean, it's a game. In order to win in the game, in order to become a champion, in order to bring his team to the success, he should know what strategies to use and what strategies not to use, which players in the team are trustworthy, you know, and through which angle he should throw the ball to the nest, you know. I think even in the game of basketball, critical thinking is very important.
Okay, that's right. And coming back to your question, how can we develop our critical thinking? It's like very easy, in my opinion. For example, so we watch TV, we listen to the radio, we surf the internet all the time. We have a lot of ways of receiving different types of information. And when we receive such kind of information, if my neighbor says to me that I've been to China and China is not a good place to study or to live, for example, as you said, I shouldn't buy it immediately. I should say, okay, and if it is interesting topic for me, I should double check it or triple check it even, you know, using different sources. This is the questioning, because if you follow his idea about China, it will be a big mistake. This is his subjective, you know, subjective opinion about the one particular country, and you shouldn't buy it. You have to check it, ask another people if it is interesting for you, so you can read, you can find other people and make sure that this is true information or not. The same situation everywhere, at school, when you meet with your friends, wherever. If somebody says that, for example, David Beckham is a good player but not a good person, okay, you have two options, to buy it, to say, okay, so I believe to my friend, so that's fine, so he knows he was in London, for example, and so on. This is one way. But another way is to check it, try to check it, because if you do it all the time, you don't need to show it, you know, do it yourself, you know. So if you do it all the time, firstly, you will have reliable, checked information for yourself. Secondly, it will become a habit, sort of habit, because it's always good. I have a question. What's your mobile phone brand? Samsung, right? Yeah. As I see. Do you think that Samsung is good?
I mean, generally, it is good.
Why do you think so? Give me some reasons.
Well, it's easier to use. And it's cheaper compared to iPhone, yeah. it has a lot of functions, you know. And it comes in different shapes, you know. Some of the Samsungs are smaller, some of them are bigger, you know. And some of them have some other better features. For example, some Samsung mobile phones have better cameras. Some of them have better voice recorder, you know. So different Samsung telephones have different upgraded features, you know. So that's why I think they're good phones, you know.
You see, when I ask this question, since you have practical experience and knowledge about this phone, because you are an active user of this brand, so you could provide me reasonable, logical, and verifiable information about your mobile phone. So this is how it works. If you can provide such kind of reasonable, logical information on information about one particular item, in our case it's mobile phone, so I trust you, because your answers satisfied my curiosity and it's logical, and I can check it as well. So it should be all the time like this. If somebody says something about somebody or some place, so listen, try to understand his arguments firstly, then it's better to check. In your case, we don't need to check because you're using it every day. So that's why there is no any kind of question. That's why this is how it should work. If somebody says that this girl is not good, so in my case, I say, okay, I don't want to have confrontation. I say, okay, what's the problem? This is your opinion. But if it's interesting for me, or if I have some plans, maybe she might be my future Mrs. Right, who knows? So then I will do my investigation. This is how it should work in every single case, if it is possible. So if you can do it, if it will become a sort of habit, so you will always have right information and you will have better chance to make right decision and to work with the right people and to be in the right place in the right time.
Okay. Shahloh, any questions?
Well, I've been thinking about questions, but I think I don't have any questions now, because he has explained everything so clearly. And maybe you will tell us some other success stories of your students.
Okay, I will give you one more example. It was 2 years ago. Her name, I will not tell her full name. Her name is Aygul. She's from Almaty, and she has she's graduated law school in Almaty and worked in that sphere like 4 or 5 years. After that, she changed her direction, started working sales like 3 or 4 years. So basically, she has degree in law, and she worked like 4 years in this direction. But she came to me and said, Bigzot, I want to study in Melbourne University. It's one of the top universities in Australia. She wanted to study, to do her master's degree in financial management. So you see, it's a big challenge, and in most cases, it's very difficult to get accepted because it's difficult to prove that because of your background. But I said, I would help you. And we started working. We spent like 2 months working on essay. So it's like one page essay simply for master's degree. We did it, and she was happy we applied, and she got into university. Now she's the second year master's student in Melbourne, and recently I got in touch with her. So she's happy, everything's good. But I should tell you that it was not easy for us to explain, you know, to explain to the reader, let's say in Australia, that I have come to this decision, or I've made this decision, fully understand what I really want. It is very difficult. But we use it local mentality, and it really worked in my opinion, because it was very touchable, especially beginning, because we know, especially American people, if you apply into the United States, you have to, how to say, you have to write a touching essay, because they're, in my opinion, they're very sensitive people. And I can tell you one example. For example, we know Harvard University is one of the most famous universities in the world, and they have admission committee, bachelor's degree admission committee, and the head of this committee was a lady aged 45, 50 years old, and like 2 years ago, she was asked a question. She was asked, you read a lot of essays every year, and which one would you remember? Which one would you would not forget? And what do you think, how did she answer to this question? She said, the one which I was reading and crying. So we have to take into account such a kind of facts, you know? If you apply to United States especially, try to be touching European people as well. In our case with Australian University, Melbourne University, the case was like her father left her family when she was a teenager and started another life. So it was a very critical moment for her in her life because she was a teenager and she started working in order to support her family because they had some financial problems at the time. And she, at early ages, started appreciating hard work and what is money, rather than just spending her parents' money. So we used this fact, real fact, in her life, and presented in such a way that this case made her stronger in all regards, and she started appreciating many things at that time when her peers were thinking about different things, like having new brand new iPhone, or complaining about not having enough pocket money, and many other things while she was working. So these sort of cases are very important, and I can tell that many students who are applying, they think that these sort of things should not be mentioned, and they consider it not as effective tool. But I should tell you, you are mistaken. You have to use such kind of cases if you have such kind of situation in your life, but you have to use it in correct way, you know, in effective way. If you can do it, it will definitely work.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you because, for example, I remember when I wrote my essays, I gave very simple essays. I mean, simple examples from my own life. Like, I remember I mentioned what was happening in our schools, you know, back in 1990s, you know, and you know, the students were fighting with the teachers, you know, teachers were fighting with the students, you know, and then so there was a huge problem with the classroom management, you know. And I really wanted to study, but because of the poor management from the teacher's side, I was like suffering every time. And I really, really wanted to become a teacher, you know, at that time. And then in my essay, I gave this story, you know. So this inspired me to become a teacher because I was suffering. I was one of those students, and then I don't want students to suffer because every student, you know, has a potential and this sort of things. From outside, it looks like very simple, but I mean, it's a human story. It's a human suffering, you know. And when I mentioned, I think, back to your point, yeah, the person who was reading the essays and was crying, you know, so the essay should be something emotional, right? Full of emotions, and they should trigger emotions, and should stand out from the crowd, you know. So, and avoiding these templates, you know, this, I don't know, formulas, you know, is very important. I mean, so the person, you know, should be able to show his inner voice, you know, inner self, this his future vision, you know, and he or she should be able to show what kind of person he is and what he wants and how he is going to benefit his or her community when after the, you know, the completion of the program. Okay, so this part is clear. Can you share something about the interview part? You know, for example, when I, now we're talking about it. I was accepted, my essay was accepted at first trial, and even my mentor in the USA, he was like, wow, you are like a lucky guy. And I was like, in my mind, I was in the US, you know, I was very like, wow, you know, 50% of the job or 60% of the job is done. Now I have interview, but in the interview I failed, you know. I mean, I was like shocked, you know. I didn't know what to say. And no, I mean, I knew what to say. I had questions in my mind, like the approximate questions that they will ask me, right? But, you know, surprisingly, they didn't ask me the questions which I expected, like I predicted, you know. They were very, very simple questions, you know. So how to prepare for the interview? And do you also offer some kind of consultation or support with the interview process? For example, you and the student, you guys wrote the essay, yeah? And then essay was shortlisted, accepted, and then the person is invited for the interview. Okay, now after 2 or 1 weeks, he has interview, right? And do you also help with this part of the application process?
Definitely I help, because it's a part of the process, and if we started the process, I would go with my student till the end of this process. And in terms of interview, mainly we are talking about scholarship programs. When you apply directly to the university, 90% universities don't require interview. If they have some doubts, they might ask you, or if it is top university like Cambridge, Oxford, they might ask you to have interview. It is usually via Skype. But if you're applying to scholarship programs, they 99.9% cases, they would ask you to come somewhere to have online interview. This is an essential part of any kind of scholarship process, selection process. So I should tell you one thing. The questions in interview are usually based or derived from the information which you have provided so far. It is your CV, it's your motivation letter, reference letters from professors, transcript, university transcript, extracurricular activities, your leadership story or potential. These things, they don't ask you something out of this scope. They might ask you, it depends on the flow of the interview. But generally, they would ask you, firstly, they would start asking, because the aim of the interview is to double check if it is really you on the paper or not. Because in some cases, people like me, for example, like people who can write really well, they can write on your behalf, and you simply go into the next stage. In the next stage, that person cannot help you, so he cannot go instead of you, so you will go there. And if you didn't write it yourself, it will be clear immediately, so you'll fail. So one of the aims of the interview is to check if it is really you or not. This is the first step. The second and the third things, for example, if you apply to any kind of scholarship, what are they looking for? This is very important. They are looking for a potential leader, the person who has or who shows potential leadership skills. That's very important, because scholarships are awarded usually for those people who can demonstrate leadership skills, that person might probably become a leader and contribute to the human development of the country. to society. That's very important. And you have to show it. First of all, how can you show it? You have to be self-confident. That's very important. As you, I have also, how to say, I've gone many interviews in my life. My essays, first stage, always successful. Taken, for example, last year, I think, yes, I had, and what happened in final part in interview, you know this project is called Civil Society Leadership Awards. So in my interview, before starting, they told me, there were three people sitting, like panel interview, let's say. And they said, Bigzot, we are not going to grant a scholarship for you. Before starting the interview, I was a little bit shocked, but I was ready for any kind of situation. And I said, why? What's the problem? We haven't started yet. They said, we have looked at your CV. We know your position. At that time, I was a general director in top language school in Kazakhstan. And they said, you are too overqualified. So what should we conclude from this case? When you're applying, you have to carefully and closely analyze the website, possible information about this particular scholarship, and understand what they want, what kind of person they're looking for, and what kind of, what is the motivation behind of providing such kind of scholarship. It's very important. After reading, you can understand if you match this profile or not. In my case, I was too overqualified. It means this, I didn't meet the expectations. They want somebody, another person who is growing.
But why? I mean, why they invited you for the interview? I mean,
that's a good question. Yes, that's a good question. In my opinion, they were interested in my application, firstly, and plus my CV, because I've done many things, especially extracurricular activities, projects, clubs, and so on. Maybe they want to get to know me better and to make sure that there is such a kind of person, actually, not on paper, you know. But they told me in advance, we're not going to give you, but and what would you do? I said, if you don't give me, I will try another options. There is not only you, yeah, in the whole world. I said like this. It's like true fact, you know. Yeah. If you don't provide, life will not stop. So I will continue trying. That this is truth of the life. Yeah. And they smiled and said, okay, do your best. I said, thank you. But actually, we had interviews. They asked me questions about my objectives and so on. And they said, what they said, recommended to me, they said, you should go to MBA. Because I applied to Masters of Leadership and Education Management. And they said that since you are the general director of the language school, it's better and more logical for you if you do your degree in MBA, not in this specific field. And they said that we don't offer such a kind of program. That's why, sorry, you are not our type of client, let's say. I said, that's okay. I don't regret, but I got a lot of useful insights from it. And now when I help to my students, we firstly, if it's Fulbright, if it is Musky, if it is Chivning, whatever. We firstly, what we do, we analyze their website. This is our first task, together with my client. After that, we'll understand. And after that, I will tell my verdict. I mean, should you apply or not? This is a big dilemma for me. Sometimes people come and they're excited to apply to the scholarship and they think that they will be successful. But after analyzing the website, firstly, I mean, the information, and on the other side, the background of the student, I understand that he almost doesn't have a chance to get this scholarship. And the question arises, should I tell him or shouldn't I tell him and support him to support his beginnings and try to apply? What do you think? Because it's still a dilemma for me, but my mind and my heart tells me that I have to tell the truth. Yeah. But from another side, it might demotivate the student. So what do you think, you two guys? What should I do in this case? Because it's a big challenge for me.
Well, really have no idea.
But what would you do in my situation?
I think I would tell. I would tell. I mean, I would tell the student that he doesn't have a lot of chance to of being accepted, and then he should try to find another scholarship program where I can help and maximize his chances of being accepted to the university. You know, I mean, rather than because you know here time is involved, energy is involved, and of course the for the service he's paying. And after like 2 or 3 months, if he finds out that he invested so many resources, yeah, both psychological, human, and then financial resources, and then in the end he doesn't get the reward, you know, I think I will be to blame. And so I think you know, truth is not sweet, you know. I don't know, I mean, it's my option, it's my that's what I would choose at that time. Yeah, it would demotivate him, yeah, but you know, the life is not full of roses. I mean, you have to fail many times in order to succeed also, you know. I mean, it's my personal opinion. What do you think yourself?
Well, I frequently come across such kind of situation in my life, and because many people firstly want to win scholarship, that's why they start from applying to scholarship programs. After analyzing, I understand that that person doesn't have, I mean, good chance to get accepted or to win the scholarship. I tell the truth, but in some cases I say that's fine, still I will learn something, let's apply. In this case I'm honest, so I don't have any problems, moral problems, let's say, or moral questions in my mind, so I can help. Because otherwise, if I know, by knowing, still I help him or her and to motivate him apply, you will get the scholarship. It is not correct, and I think I might have serious problems in the future. That's why I always tell the truth. But in some cases, they don't like it, unfortunately,
yeah.
And they usually offended in some cases, unfortunately, and they say, "Sorry, I'm not going to use your service."
Yeah.
I have such kind of case as well. It's life, you know. Not everything is smooth, you know. That's why. So for me, it was a big challenge question, but now I figure out that it's better to say the truth. It's always correct, I think.
I mean, if the client chooses to apply, knowing that he doesn't have a lot of chances of being accepted, I mean, I think that's fine, yeah? But if you motivate him for the false, you know, from your side, yeah, I mean, it's of course that's bad. Okay, so the time is running out, and then I have one more question, and I think it's very, very important. So when the person comes to you, how much he or she should be prepared to pay for the service?
Okay, it's, I think, a very important question as well, because it's not free, as you understand. So you have to pay for this one. Basically, my price list starts from $100. So it's a minimum amount of money you have to be ready to pay. But depending on the requirements and difficulty and importance of the program, the cost varies. So that's why I don't have fixed price for every single case. So minimum price $100. Once you approach me, for example, once you get in touch with me, you provide me information where you're going to apply, what kind of program. It will take me one day to work out and to analyze this program and learn the requirements. After that, I can tell you how much would it cost. So this is how it works. If it is scholarship programs, of course it would be more expensive, because usually for scholarship application you have to write not only one essay, it's like 2 to 5 essays, mini essays. That's why logically it would be more expensive, because we would spend more energy and time together.
Okay, thank you so much Behzad for coming to our show today. Shahrukh, thank you very much also, and hope to see you again, maybe online or in our office.
Yes, it was my pleasure as well to be here today, and I hope that, and I strongly believe that this podcast would be very useful for many Uzbek students who are planning to apply abroad, and I'm always ready and happy to help them. They can find me through motivationletter.kz. I have contact details there. This is my personal website. And I also want to continue. I think that it is the first but not the last one, last meeting, and I have a lot of to say, about different things, about recommendation letter, about CV, how to pass job interview, and many other topics. So hopefully we'll continue in near future. And thank you for inviting one more time.
Thank you very much. See you next time. Bye-bye.